Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
It's Monday morning on the show on KMOX. You can find us on Twitter at the show KMOX, on Facebook right now, facebook.com/KMOX1120. You can call us or text us. Same number either way. 314-436-7900. We got a few texts in that we're going to get to a little bit later on when we revisit some of the hotter topics, but we definitely want reaction here. So if you'd like to call, you're welcome to do it. We're going to keep the phone lines open for a little bit. 314-436-7900. If you don't have time for that, you can send us a text. We will read that as well. Again, 314-436-7900. Because Amy threw a topic at Chris and I. I don't know. That was the worst. I think that's the first time I ever called you Chris. She threw a topic to Ronj and I the other day, or was it yesterday, about whether or not people hang with members of the other party.
Of the other party, yeah.
And I thought that what was in there was interesting. But I also thought, the more I thought about my own kind of groups of people, I realize I don't know that I ever really ask or find out or even talk about these things mostly amongst friends.
And that's really interesting. And that might be an age thing as well, right? Huh. So I'm a millennial, you're Gen X. And we talked about, like, when you were in college, you were not, the first thing you did when you asked your wife out on a date is not, let's talk about politics. What are your political leanings? Whereas now I do think it's front and center. So where I am at in my various peer groups, you know, because you have all your different groups of friends, and all my peer groups, I am almost, well, if not the sole conservative in my peer groups. All of my friends are left of center, and most of them are very far left. And so this was interesting. There was a professor at Georgetown University who looked at various studies and data and asked the questions, do Americans have many friends across party lines? She said, and this is from the lead, younger and more progressive Americans are the most likely to talk politics with friends and are slightly more likely to report having zero close friends with whom they disagree politically. And so, again, progressives in this study were almost three times as likely as conservatives to report having ended a friendship over politics. So 28% of progressives have ended a friendship over politics, 10% of conservatives have. And yes, around 2/3 of Democrats said that their friend groups are mostly also Democrats, and 6 in 10 Republicans, so pretty close, said that their friend groups are mostly Republicans.
Yeah, this is really fascinating.
Turn on your mic.
This is really a lot of numbers, so I apologize.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really fascinating to me because I think about my closest group of friends that I've had for, you know, 15 or so years. And we all live in different parts of the country now. but there are eight of us. Mm-hmm. Five of the eight are conservatives. I'm a progressive person. I consider myself, and I lean that way in a lot of different things. But five of them are conservatives, like very conservative, actually, and maybe have gotten more. So it's either one of two things. They've either gotten more conservative as they've gotten older, or they're just more vocal about it now.
Yeah.
And what you said earlier about, you know, this not being the sort of thing that we talked about 15, 20 years ago, I don't really think it's an age thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's an era thing. Mm-hmm. I think that people just across the board are more politically involved, at least having an opinion on politics and then wanting to tell you what that opinion is. It didn't used to be that way. When I was growing up, you know, back in the early 90s, yeah, it just didn't.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, when, you know, Kevin and I being Gen Xers, we just, when we were in high school, we didn't talk about that stuff. And I get the sense now that kids kind of do, and they start to form that tribe or become part of a tribe at a much younger age than they used to. But as far as my friend group goes, I am friends with mostly conservatives that I do not agree with. We've had a Facebook message thread.
Oh, there's been, your problem right there.
Well, it's just it was
Facebook
a good way.
Message thread sounds like hell.
No. It's the same as having a text thread, but it's you
worse
know,
on Facebook.
Well, it's the same. It's the same, Kevin. But we've had it for probably 11 or 12 years. And in the last couple, I can't go to it anymore. Yeah. And it's not that we disagree. It's that it's all they talk about. It's constant complaining about J.B. Pritzker or Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot or any Democrat they can think of, or, you know, how bad Illinois is. That's all it is. And I'm like, guys, I love you, but this was better when we were just making fun of each other.
Well, and that kind of backs up what you were saying about an era thing versus an age thing. So I'll throw two more numbers at you. One is 1/3 of Democrats say that they have zero close friends from the other party. But this actually extends into the party itself. And what I mean by that is Republicans who consider themselves Trump supporters first and foremost are more likely to say they have zero friends in the opposite party. They're actually twice as likely to say that than Republicans who consider themselves more
like
old school Republicans in general.
Traditional.
So that means even within the Republican Party, there's a rift.
What I really wish, and I'm saying this as nicely as I can because it's a topic that irritates me to no end, because I consider myself anti-political, not apolitical, anti. Like, the problem is politics. It's not any one issue. It's not three issues. The problem is the fact that it's one team against another team all the time, and that's all that it is. I never have problems with friends or acquaintances or whatever when we talk about very specific stories or issues or things. It's when it becomes this generalized, I hate that team,
right,
and I like this team, where I'm just out. I'm out. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to. There's no such thing as a good team. Both teams are flawed. Honestly, both teams suck. They really do, because they do the same thing just in different ways.
For different
reasons. Yes, they do, but they do the same thing in different ways. And I really do wish that people would stick to more issues-related conversations, mm-hmm. as opposed to everything becoming, well, see, this is why this group screws everything up. Like, okay, you got to be more nuanced than that. We've got to have more detail than that. It's a nonsensical child's game that we're playing here. I mean, the last 20 years.
Right. Because conflict and disagreement is not just good. It's necessary for a healthy democracy that functions the way it's supposed to function. Unity is not moral. It's amoral, because we all know, I mean, my goodness, the Third Reich had unity. It's not about unity being moral or amoral. It's about how do we handle conflict? How do we handle disagreement? And can we operate within the confines of democratic norms? And right now, we're making it the other side an existential threat. And once I say that your existence and your policies spell the end of everything I believe, then you've cut off any ability to have serious mm-hmm. discussion.
So there has to be. Disagreement is necessary for a healthy country and democracy, but it's got to be good faith disagreement.
Well, it's what existed when we were talking about this breakdown 15 minutes ago. When we look at 1982, that existed.
Right.
1990s, early 90s, it existed. And it just no longer exists.
Yeah, in the last 20 years, it's really solidified. It started to solidify, and then I think it really hardened in the last probably 8 or so years, maybe decade. But we're not willing to disagree and then say, okay, where can we agree on this one issue? Where are we? Are we close on this?
Right.
Are we close on that? And where could we maybe budge a little bit? Like, maybe I haven't seen it from your perspective, but I understand what you're telling me now. So let's try to move forward with it. We are totally incapable of doing that.
Hit us up on the text line, 314-436-7900. You can also call us on that number. We're going to get some reaction in the next segment. And I'm going to throw a conspiracy theory at these two about why we've gone this way. Next up on KMOX. All right, it's the show on KMOX. Chris Ranji, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler. Who's the dude that sang this again?
Bobby something.
Bobby McFerrin.
Bobby McFerrin.
He's joined us today, too. Yeah, you're right.
He's joining us?
No, he joined us with the song. I was making sure that we give credit where credit was due. You guys can text us, 314-436-7900. Call in at that same number. So we're talking about this topic, about crossing lines, right? Yeah. And how, from our own perspectives, all of us really seem to cross lines quite commonly. Like, it's not unusual for me to be, I'm not uncomfortable around anybody. I hang out with people that vote all over the place. Most of the time, I don't even care and don't want to know. I don't even want to know what your politics are. Like, please take it off your bumper sticker. I don't care. I think most people are like that. But the picture that's painted is the opposite of that. And the way that this is discussed from the top down is the opposite of that. It's been turned into, instead of these people disagree with me, it's these people are trying to destroy everything we believe in. They're the enemy.
Democrats are the enemy.
It is turned into enemies as opposed to disagreements.
It's right. Catastrophizing policy.
So,
saying that if this guy becomes president, everything you hold near and dear and love about America will be destroyed.
So this leads me to the one conspiracy theory that I actually kind of believe.
Okay.
But it's not really a conspiracy, so follow with me, all right? I believe that people who have real power, and usually that's just money, like super high amounts of money, they prefer that the general public yells at each other and is always mad at each other rather than looking at the fact that that they're doing the things that they're doing. Like, hey, don't look up here. Just fight amongst yourselves. And I don't know that there, I don't think there are meetings about it. I don't think that they all get together and go, let's
keep them fighting.
Yeah, hey, listen, why don't we organize this thing that'll get them all fighting again? Ah, I don't think it's like that. But I do think that powerful people know. And why do you think that things became the way that they did with news becoming more than just news, with the way things are framed? I do believe that there are people that, without acting in concert, without having their monthly power broker meetings, do very much enjoy the fact that we would all rather fight with each other than look up.
It's just like-mindedness.
Yes.
And I think it's something that Zinn wrote about in A People's History of the United States back in the 80s. The idea, and it goes back, and it probably all over the world has happened in different countries, but at least in this one, there was a shared there was a common benefit for rich, for wealthy landowners to make sure that the poor people and the slave population were distrustful of each other. Because once those two groups realized their interests are aligned, then the rich landowner is in trouble. So as long as you make those two groups dislike each other, you're fine, because they're going to bicker and you're just going to be above the fray living a comfortable life. And I think several hundred years later, it's the same idea.
We're just talking about done differently.
Yeah, it's done differently. I don't even think that's a conspiracy.
I would argue it's just reality. European kings used religion for that purpose. Many, many for centuries used religion for that purpose. You keep The pagans and the Christians fighting in the Roman days. You keep the Catholics and the Protestants. You keep them fighting each other, and meanwhile nobody's looking up. Nobody's looking up at what's happening above them. The people that just continue to gather power and resources and wealth. They're just doing their thing. Nobody's paying attention because I got to fight my neighbor because my neighbor is the devil.
Yes, and I agree with you that it's not all the billionaires are getting together with their monthly meeting.
No.
I think it's just, I do believe it's the kind of thing that just happens.
You know, I can kind of see a point there. To me, when we're looking at within the country, whether it's the politicians or the wealthy or whoever it may be, grievance politics sells. And I think that within our country, whether it is politicians or talking heads, they're capitalizing on grievance politics for personal gain. I don't think they want to make the country weak. And I think there's a difference between wanting to exploit people's fears for your own personal gain. And there's a difference between that and our international adversaries like Russia and China. They actually want to encourage and even catalyze discord and division because they know it weakens our country.
We know they've done it. We know they've done it. And damn it, it works. And part of the reason why it's working is because for so long we've done it to ourselves.
Yep. Right. They're cheering us on while we're yelling at each other, because when we think about it, we're Americans. We're on the same side. I mean, we have way more in common with each other than we do with the CCP or a terrorist state like Iran. We're all on the same side, but you would think that we are each other's worst enemies.
I firmly believe that if Bin Laden were still alive, he would be loving this. Like, this is exactly division. What he wanted there to be division in this country and to have it tear itself apart from the inside. That's the dream, or would have been the dream for him or for Putin or for any of our adversaries around the world. That's what they wanted to happen, and we're doing it.
So it's a vast oversimplification, but it's essentially what happened with the Soviet Union.
What do you mean?
It fell apart from within.
They weren't
attacked. We didn't have to fight them on the battlefield. Well, you know, we did find ways to influence parts of their culture and help, you know, because even under the Iron Curtain days, American things were still popular. Blue jeans and all this kind of stuff, right? I mean, like, you know, the rock music, all that stuff was still popular, and all of that led to people eventually saying, "Wait a minute, okay, hold on." So these people that are affiliated in the party, they live in luxury. They got what they want. They have all this food, and we don't. And that's that rot from within that eventually makes it fall apart.
Yeah. I mean, that's what John Adams, he wrote a letter to John Taylor in 1814. And in that, he said, there has not yet been a democracy that has not committed suicide. He knew that if our country fell, it would be an implosion. It would be from within. And I will say this, as we see each other dehumanized, whether it's because of social media or political silos or other forms of isolation, that's what makes conversation impossible to have, because it's friendships. Like, have you ever been a best friend or in love with someone on the opposite aisle? You're not trying to own that person. You're trying to see where they're coming from. You give them the benefit of a doubt because you know they're a good person. And if anything, you try to persuade or learn from them because you are friends with that person.
Yes, and I do think another reason this happens is because we have very popular cable networks who will spend 12 of the 24 hours of their day telling you why you should be mad at the other guy. Yeah. Why this is why you should be angry. This is what they are taking away from you. This is what they are doing to you, and you better do something about it. Well, if you watch a network like that all day, if that's on in your house, at work, in the lobby, wherever you are, and it's just pounded into your head over and over and over again, eventually you're going to be mad at somebody for just existing. You're going to be mad at somebody for having a differing point of view. But the reality is, we are not the enemy of each other, and we have to stop thinking like that.
You wanna get out? Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally.
It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You're listening to the show on KMOX. Amy Marks, of course, Chris Ranji, Kevin Wheeler with you here. Today, you guys, is the 78th anniversary of D-Day, and I thought it'd be good to have a conversation about that with Colonel Jeff McCausland. Of course, you'll find him on Twitter at MCCAUSLJ, and of course, that's his personal account, professor at Dickinson College, national security consultant for CBS Radio. And Colonel, thank you for doing this. First of all, we appreciate you being a part of the program.
My great pleasure to be with you today.
So 78 years ago, one of the greatest military operations, certainly in the history of our country, but in the, maybe in the history of the world, and certainly the largest such venture at that time took place. And, you know, when I was thinking about this earlier today, it is both stunning in terms of the magnitude, the importance of the action, and also how different that kind of thing would have to be if it were in a more modern world as opposed to the time in which it took place.
Well, absolutely, without question. I mean, this was an enormously complicated operation demanding not only the use of naval power to not only transport ships but troops, but also to soften up using naval gunpowder. You had a massive bombardment from the air coming in to soften up targets as well. Then you had this large-scale paratroop and glider operation with thousands of American, British, Canadian paratroopers entered France by parachute or by glider. All those would be very difficult to do today based on modern air defenses, anti-ship missiles from shore, as we've seen in the fighting in Ukraine, the use of drones. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, it's an enormous command and control effort demanding that is executed flawlessly. And obviously, in this environment today, command and control is even more complicated by cyber, electronic warfare, and the like.
Just when there's the tactical side, the logistics of D-Day, but in your experience and your career and your life on a day like today, when you're looking back at what happened, what are your thoughts?
My thought is about the individual soldier And I've been to Omaha Beach. I've been to the cliffs of Pond Hawk where the Rangers will climb this vertical cliff and in order to try to take out what was believed to be a German gun position. And, you know, way back in the Napoleonic era, Napoleon Bonaparte once said, the moral is the physical as 3:1. The moral is the physical as 3:1. So it's courage, willpower, and grit. When we get right down to it, that's what it in fact takes. And those young soldiers that climb those cliffs, those young soldiers that went ashore at Omaha Beach, in many cases saw their leaders killed almost immediately as they exited the landing craft, but took charge of the remainder of their squad, their platoon, and continued with the mission. They didn't fall apart. They made it happen. Paratroopers who were scattered all about but came together, a few together, and accomplished the mission. It's the individual soldiers' willpower, determination, and grit that is, I think, best emphasized there at D-Day.
You know, I bet the best representation, at least from an art standpoint, of that day is Saving Private Ryan, the film that I think almost all of us have seen at this point. And I know there were a lot of people in the service who watched that and were shaken when they watched it, or World War II veterans who had a strong emotion from that. And just from a viewer's perspective who never was in a battle, that is an absolutely gut-wrenching, what, first 17 minutes of the film. So in reality, though, if you are one of those soldiers and you know what you're going into, and certainly the military, the U.S. military, knew it was going to be bad, like, how do you prepare yourself for that?
We prepare ourselves, first of all, by being well-trained and well-equipped. And they were well-trained, they were well-equipped. And secondly, you have good leadership, which inspires trust and confidence in you that you can actually accomplish this task. You know, Colin Powell used to say when I was in the Pentagon that optimism is a force multiplier. I don't care if you're leading troops in combat or you're leading an organization during a crisis, their level of optimism will only get to your level. They'll never rarely exceed it. You know, Dwight Eisenhower would frequently say to his staff, this is not going to fail. I'm not going to listen to any conversation about this failing. This will, in fact, succeed. And I've got to instill in everybody the belief that they can, in fact, do it. And then finally, you know, it's oddly, I'm sitting here on the Gettysburg battlefield running a leadership workshop, and shortly we'll be at where Pickett's charge occurs and where the Union will defend the angle at the end of that particular battle. And ultimately, whether you're exiting a landing craft on Omaha Beach or parachuting out of an aircraft or leading men in battle, wherever it might be, ultimately it's the cohesion of the organization. You know, this guy on my left and my right, these are my two buddies. They're not going to let me down, and therefore I'm not going to let them down. And that's what got guys to do what you saw depicted there in the first 17 minutes of Saving Private Ryan.
You know, one of my grandfathers fought in World War II, was not at Normandy or any of the beaches on D-Day, but certainly fought in the Pacific and went through that. And I got very little, you know, in terms of stories from him, but I do think that we've done a pretty good job as a society telling that story of World War II, showing those the brotherhood that you're talking about. Because in that moment, we've talked a lot about, too, with school shootings or mass shootings, too, about responses being about bravery and committing to something you know is dangerous, and you've bought into that in advance. How much of that is simply the care for the people that you're working with as much as the cause that you're working for?
Well, it's a bit of both. There's no doubt about it. But ultimately, the cohesion of the organization is what pulls you through. And I think your point is well taken, thinking about things right now. I mean, I spend a lot of time doing executive leadership workshops, work with a lot of school district leadership teams. I work with some medical organizations. And what I've found over the last year or so, in almost every one of those organizations, you'll find a teacher, a janitor, a bus driver, a person who works in food service, or a nurse, or a lab technician. And they were supposed to retire. That was supposed to be their retirement in 2020 or 2021. But they decided they weren't going to do that. They pulled their retirement papers because they were not going to let their teammates down. And that's the kind of cohesion you have to build in an organization to be successful. And frankly, we see that depicted before our very eyes as we watch this war in Ukraine. There's no doubt about it that the cohesion of the Ukrainians, the willpower of the Ukrainians, the moral of the Ukrainians is far superior to the Russians who are attacking them. And that's why the Russian army, for a host of reasons, but that's one of the reasons why I think the Russian army is doing so poorly.
Yeah, you mentioned Gettysburg, and I was thinking of Joshua Chamberlain and the call for bayonets at the Battle of Little Round Top, and whether it's D-Day or a battle like that, what we're witnessing is sacrificial action or sacrificial love, and there's something about that that is so deeply moving because it's counterintuitive to self-preservation and maybe our natural human instincts. And you talked about building a brotherhood. What other elements of bravery, you know, how do you instill that? How do you retrain the brain to step up in moments of great peril?
Well, as a leader, what you want to do is make sure your people are outwardly focused, not inwardly focused. You want to make sure they're focusing on the problem and not focusing on their own fears. Some of that, of course, is compensated by the fact they're well-trained or experienced. And they're also, like I said, motivated by the people on their right and their left. You know, I'm going to be on Little Round Top at the point, ironically, what you just described in about an hour, and I do a leadership workshop there. And I talk about that particular cohesion in that organization. In the movie Gettysburg, which is a dramatization, so we're not certain that it's exactly accurate, but the character who plays Joshua Chamberlain will talk to the men before the battle, and he'll talk to them about what we're fighting for. We're fighting to free other people. We're fighting for the flag. We're fighting for the Union. But ultimately, he says to them, what we're real fighting for is we're fighting for each other.
Very deep stuff. We thank you, Colonel, for doing this. Appreciate your time and your service. We'll look forward to catching up with you again down the road. But we really do appreciate you joining us today.
Take care.
You got it. That's Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS Radio national security consultant, Dickinson College professor. Obviously, more than 30 years a colonel. Pretty good experience. I like Jeff a lot. I think he's a great guest. Some interesting things we can explore in there another time about what we talked about, what you were talking about there with the bravery and what it takes to train yourself to go against your own instinct to preserve your life.
And in case you're wondering, he does have a book, Battle Tested, Gettysburg Leadership Lessons for 21st Century Leaders. It is outstanding.
Fantastic stuff. We're going to find out what's trending in the world coming up next on the show on KMOX.
What is it? What's happened?
What's going on? What do you know?
What just happened?
What happened?
I need to know.
Trending now on the show.
All right, taking a look at what's happening in the world, what's getting attention, and it's not always what the top trend is. It's the trend that gets each of our attention. And I'm going to start being the sports guy with the weekend that the Cardinals had at Wrigley Field. That was pretty good. Mm. Wasn't perfect, but there was a lot of drama, a lot of entertainment, a couple of really big performances. Like Genesy Cabrera last night was fantastic. Got to see a little bit of the kid, Zach Thompson, who came up and threw really well. You had your moments that didn't go the way that you want, but you took 3 out of 5. It's a good weekend in Chicago, and it sounds like people are getting closer to coming back. Got the report on Jack Flaherty throwing 30 pitches yesterday. He threw 3 innings, by the way. 9 outs on 30 pitches. That's pretty good.
Yeah, we'll
touch
take that.
Touch 96 on the fastball. Also sounds like Tyler O'Neill and Dylan Carlson could be back for the series against the Rays starting tomorrow. We'll do a lot more on the Cardinals coming up at 12:30 in our normal Cardinals segment.
Guys, I don't know why I care, and I'm not sure that I do. But it did catch my attention immediately. You all know that Pete Davidson has a relationship with Kim Kardashian.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that anywhere.
You all know about that. But apparently he's kind of been acting as a stepdad to the kids.
Oh.
Yeah. So
he seems so fatherly.
So there are photos of... First of all, maybe he's a great dad.
Maybe. I'm just saying he seems like he's not.
Or he would be a good dad. Maybe.
Maybe.
There are photos of him with Saint West, who is Kanye's kid. They're outside Cheesecake Factory, which is amazing to me that they would go to Cheesecake Factory.
Wow, it's awesome.
Cheesecake Factory is great, but if you're like kind of becoming a hyper celebrity and you've got Kanye West's child with you, is that the place you'd go?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. If you want all that attention, sure.
I guess.
Which I think he does.
I go to IHOP.
It's fun, yeah.
Pancakes. Oh.
IHOP would be great.
I don't know how we went from Cheesecake Factory to IHOP, but.
Saint West is 6 years old, and there's a photo of Pete holding his hand, you know, as you do with a kid. My first thought is Kanye is going to kill him. He's being dad to Kanye's kids, and we already know Kanye's nuts.
So this just reminds me of just how bizarre the lifestyles of these uber famous people are. Remember, again, going back to Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, and it was story after story of crazy nights of drugs and alcohol and abuse and chaos. And one of those nights would be the worst day of most
of
our lives, or
right.
the worst day of our marriage. Yeah. When you think of Kanye West being, whether he is ill or unhinged, and then Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian and that whole family, what a fake world, bizarro bubble they live in.
Yeah, and I guess you kind of have to be that way a little bit because you need people to pay attention to you. But yeah. my thinking is, if Kanye's already mad about the Kardashian relationship, wouldn't him holding hands with your children be the thing that puts you over the top?
Well, I think
I have zero thoughts on that matter.
He's already over there. Okay, well then let's talk about someone more relatable, Wheels. Elon Musk says that he may walk away from his $44 billion deal to acquire Twitter if the social network fails to provide data on spam and fake accounts. Now, the breakup fee would be $1 billion, which is nothing to him. But I have two thoughts on this. One, or two questions, I should say, for you. Do you think Elon Musk will actually buy Twitter? Is this going to happen? And two, can you imagine making a decision that cost you $1 billion?
If I had as many billions as he did, I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, there you go. That's on number two. Number one, do you think he's going to buy it? Is this going to go through?
I don't. The longer this goes on, the more I feel like it's going to fall through. And maybe he wasn't really totally serious to begin with. Because this seems like the exact kind of thing he would do. Mm-hmm. It's like higher level trolling because he's a billionaire. He's going to pretend to buy one of the most well-known social media platforms in the world. And he's going to carry on the charade for a month and a half or 2 months or whatever it is. And then at the last minute, just either do something to sabotage it or just back out altogether. That feels like something he would do. So I kind of feel like this is not going to happen.
Can I just say I feel about Elon Musk the same way I feel about Maverick from the original Top Gun? Just so smackable. So smackable.
I think Stan Kroenke is worse than Elon Musk as far as smackability.
Yes.
I don't want to condone violence. I will say just being irritating to your soul.
I'll stick with the smackable for those guys.
I don't condone violence.
I think you're looking for punch face.
Yes. Yes.
Too violent.
Yeah. Oh, no. Never mind.
Oh, wait. Just as a heads up, I'm putting this on the show Twitter account at the show KMOX. Will Elon Musk actually ever buy Twitter? We can see what the listeners have to say.
I think he's just a troll, so I'm going to say no.
Yes.
I think he just likes ruining things and messing people up and trying to insert himself into everything. And again, I just never understand why you literally could have anything you want and do anything, and this is what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You want to be a troll.
It is
how in the world do you even have time for that?
I don't know.
I mean, like, how much fun would you be having? Be like, I don't care about any of you people. I'm going to go have fun.
Yeah, if I were a billionaire, I would pay someone to scour the internet and just remove any like signs of my existence.
I don't exist. Yes.
I don't exist, and I'm going to go hiking and go to the beach and go shopping.
I'm going to Elvis myself. You're going to be gone. Like, I'm going to disappear. There'll be legends forever, but you'll never see me again.
Yeah, as long as you are not under anybody's scrutiny, you can have the best life. But it is God-level trolling, though, to be willing to forfeit $1 billion just so you can go through all this.
Mm-hmm.
And in itself, it's kind of amazing that he's just like, I'll lose $1 billion. I don't care. I made everybody mad for 2 months. That's good enough for me.
He is a rebel. I mean, he is a guy with all this money and all of this power, and all he does is irritate everybody.
I think there's a faux rebel, though.
Do you?
I do.
Think he's faux rebel. I mean, I don't even know how to say his kids' names because they've got like the symbol for boron or whatever in the middle of it. He's a 12-year-old boy who's also a genius, who's also a billionaire.
I just loved how he wanted to challenge Putin to like single combat. So I would like to make the single combat challenge to Elon. Let's go, bro. Let's go.
Come at me, bro.
Come at me, bro. Yeah. If you were a billionaire, would you be the come at me, bro?
No. I'd buy an island and go there and stay.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. You can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.